I'm your host on Leaders Portfolio, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. Joining us in the Leaders Portfolio studio today, the president, CEO, and co-owner of Raylan Technologies, Mr. Dale Canning. With over $3 million in revenues and offices in Rockville, Maryland, and New York, Raylan Technologies provides research, design, and professional services to the Fortune 500 biotech, medical devices, and pharmaceutical industry. Welcome.
Thank you, Rebecca. Glad to be here.
And so... My understanding is you founded this company, you founded a company a few decades ago, and at some point merged with what is now Raylan Technologies.
That's correct. My initial business, the one that I co-founded with some other folks about 20 years ago, was a technical communications company. And that piece of the puzzle for the business mix, bringing that into the pharma and clinical research world was something that we found was a good idea as a business mix, as we had done some subcontracting with Raylan Technologies, and ultimately we ended up doing the merger, and so now we're all one. It's a three-pronged company. We do audits of clinical research for academic research organizations. We do current good manufacturing process consulting for pharma manufacturers, and there's a large training component to both of those. So we do a lot of multimedia training, development of training materials for these companies, and making sure that that everybody's doing things that are going to be compliant with both the FDA and with European and Asian organizations that regulate those sorts of industries.
So do you have a multimedia background yourself?
Yes, I do. My background actually from the military. I was a trainer in the military, and that brought me into the training game, if you will. And I've been an instructional designer for a couple of decades. I do quite a bit of scripting of video. I do quite a lot of writing technical documentation and standard operating procedures and that sort of thing. While it's not commercially sort of sexy stuff, it's sometimes some very sort of knuckle dragon hard technical stuff. It's writing all the same, and that's really been the thing that I've contributed the most to the process, other than my business acumen, my degrees in business.
So if more kind of regulation or laws or rules around the pharma or biotech industries means people need more of your manuals to understand them, does that mean you actually want to go into countries that have more kind of regulation or not necessarily?
Well, not necessarily. I mean that obviously in that example, it would be great for us to have for there to continue to be a highly regulated industry, because that's what is our bread and butter. The thing that pulls us offshore really is that a lot of clinical research is done offshore now. A lot of pharma manufacturing for U.S. companies is done in other countries now, and everybody is bound to either the FDA or that, as I said, that host country's set of rules. So It's very important to recognize that just because it wasn't made in the USA, if it's a pharmaceutical product, doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't highly regulated and it's not a good thing. It was a very highly regulated process that brought it to market.
Excellent. We're speaking with the president, CEO, and co-owner of Raylan Technologies, $3 million in revenues and offices in Rockville, Maryland, and New York. They provide research, design, and professional services to the Fortune 500 biotech, medical device, and pharmaceutical industry. Now, what would you argue you do differently than others in your field?
What do we do differently?
Yeah, what do you provide differently?
Oh, well, I think that's probably the communication piece. Within the field, you will see that there are lots and lots of organizations out there that are consulting organizations that do what we do, put very highly educated, very highly experienced people in to advise organizations on either their clinical research process or their pharma manufacturing process. What those organizations typically don't have is the technical communications piece where we can say, okay, we're going to do the training piece. It's going to have a really professional polish on it, and it's going to have the kinds of elements in it that make it instructionally sound for adult learners, that sort of thing. So that's a very niche-y sort of a thing. And when we put the company together, I think we're probably one of maybe a very small handful of companies in the U.S. that has those three areas of expertise. And we may be even unique in the U.S. relative to our custom development capabilities.
And your background, you said you kind of started learning some of this in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point you went to National University.
Yes.
While you were in the military.
Yes, that's correct.
And then this is this your first business or premier? But
premier
into this,
was,
so
and then
this is
into
really
this.
Your first business in a way.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I mean, one of them I had with a friend of mine many years ago. We had a little mail order business that failed, but really this is the one that we bootstrapped and it became successful, and it was enough to quit our day jobs and really go into business.
What did you learn from that failure? Because I bet you learned a lot.
Well, we learned to keep our eye on the ball. That's for sure, because there were a lot of things that happened in trying to bootstrap that small business that we didn't pay attention to. We were very naive about it. And when we came into the most recent businesses that we started, and we took on the responsibility of having people who were depending upon us, those were the sorts of situations where it became real. We really felt that we had responsibility for keeping people employed and going out there and finding business and not treating it as if it was some sort of a side gig. It was a real deal.
Do you ever wish, oh, I just want to go back to being a one-person shop?
All the time. All the time, but it's really not something that's in my path now. I've reconciled myself to the fact that I am doing what I do best. And that involves putting people in groups to work on projects and having it come out the other end of the process in a way that's going to be received by our customers in a way that they're going to find that there's great value in it.
And there's another area of the business that you're getting ready to launch?
Yeah, actually, it's a new company altogether. It's called Raylan Therapeutics. We are my business partner was afflicted with a neurological disease for which he takes a multi-IV infusion, and he invented a device to make that process easier. We've got some other technologies out of a university medical center that is for biosituational awareness inside a host, for transmitting that biosituational awareness out of the host wirelessly, and making some determinations about the host, the health of the host, by detecting certain biochemicals. And so we are that's a very nascent thing. It's brand new. We are in a couple of months going for our first round of our Series A of funding, and so we're bringing everything together there. We've got our board of director together. I've finished the business plan for that, and we're looking forward to great things out of that. That's going to be a really exciting thing.
So you're kind of excited about the challenge.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think anybody who's an entrepreneur would look at a situation like that and see that there is some risk in it, and there's a lot of work, and there's a lot of long days that are associated with it. But see that that the opportunity not only for financial reward is there, but also we're going to be doing things with this technology that's going to help a lot of people. And so the combination of that is really super compelling to me and my partners as well.
Excellent. And let's talk about your overall leadership philosophy. What is it?
Well, I was thinking about that before we came on a little bit, and I thought about my military past, and I think that you know, in the military, it's very regimented, of course, and your motivation to do something for someone is because you can see what they're wearing on their sleeve or on their collar, and that system is not meant to be circumvented. When you're in business, obviously, it's a little bit different. So my overall philosophy is one of motivating through empathy, motivating a lot through humor. We have a great time working with the people that I work with. We tend to have a mix of people that are very bright. And they do a good job, and we do things that allow people to flourish in that environment, and allow them to have their say, but do the sort of authoritarian thing as well, where you know the buck does stop at the top, and so I like to think that everybody's having a good time, but they know that with that with the buck stopping at the top, that they know that that there's someone who is mindful of the way that the business is going. And that we're not messing around at the top either. I mean, we're having our fun, but we're doing what we need to do to keep the business going.
How has your philosophy changed over time?
Well, as the company has grown, I think that we've obviously had people come and go, and so I think every person that you come in contact with changes you somewhat. You learn things from – you learn as much from your employees as they learn from you. And so I think that that it has become a more mature attitude, certainly, and one that that continues to form as we continue through business.
I've got a Forbes business quote for you as well. This is from Thomas Edison. Thinking is hard work.
Thinking is hard work. And it's something for us as technical communicators, we tend to spend a lot of time thinking before we put things to, put pen to paper. And we're always thinking about solving our customers' problems. So a lot of our work is very cerebral. And kudos to Mr. Edison.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming to the Leaders Portfolio Studio today.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here.
The president, CEO, and co-owner of Raylan Technologies, Mr. Dale Canning, here with us. And I want to thank these supporters of leadership, Leaders Portfolio sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, their development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you want the federal and business communities and the D.C. area communities to associate leadership and values with your business, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Hey, maybe you're a company that just wants to give back and really values leadership, we encourage you to consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Also, I am Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, reminding you that it's time for your business to apply for this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards. If you're a business who sells to the private sector, maybe you sell to the public sector, doesn't matter. We want all businesses to apply if you believe that you practice a set of leadership and ethics in the way you do business. And if you do, apply for the Leadership Business of the Year and also apply for Business Leader of the Year. There are separate categories for businesses with under and over 50 employees at leadersportfolio.com application. I'm Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership.